have now typhoons. We'll talk specifically about Typhoon Phanapi, and the first talk will be by Wen Qi and Tom Sanford on EM apex loads observations in Typhoons Phanapi and Mangkhut.
Hi everyone. I would like to present the our EM apex growth observation in Typhoon Phanapi. As many of you might know, that my co-author Tom Sanford is the one who put the EM electromagnetic sensors on the apex growth so that can measure not only the temperature stability and pressure, now we can measure the horizontal velocity and make it a very nice platform to do the process study. Okay, first I would like to thank the ONR support for this project, and I'd like to thank the groups in Monterey Control Center, the people in Guam, and the modelers, and all the groups in the reveal, and on the Taiwanese RVs who help us to recover the EM apex probes. So here's the outlines of my talk. We deployed 14 EM apex probes. All of them were successfully deployed in Phanapi and Mangkhut. The EM apex probes observe very strong inertial waves and subsurface jet, internal tides, and mesosphere eddies. We find the inertial energy decay rate is pretty fast, with an exponential time scale about 2 to 3 days. We find upwelling, strong upwelling under the eye, larger than 50 meters. The strongest surface cooling is about 2.5 degrees C, but most of them are due to upwelling, not mixing or heat loss by air sea flux. I will explain that. We find the inertial rational region has the strongest upwelling and mixing. Okay, here the background is the abyssal sea surface high anomaly. And here is the best track of the Phanapi. And the circles and color represent the maximum wind speed. The black curves here are the float trajectory. So we deploy the floats a day before the Typhoon Phanapi arrived. A tree on the right of the typhoon, tree on the left, one in the middle. And the typhoon just magically happened to pass the middle float. So what you see here, there are two cyclonic eddies. The southern float and the northern float, they both follow the eddies. The rest of five floats, they basically move westward. These two move faster than the others. The reason is because they were in the subsurface jet. And I will explain later, and Rosalinda is going to explain the importance of this subsurface jet on the whole week. And Luke will explain the underway survey of the subsurface jet too. So the three magenta circles here represent the wind rotation rate equal to 0.8F, 1.0F, and 1.2F. So the wind force is nearly resonant between these outer and inner circles. Okay? And our float, this float, 4907, was in this resonant area. And in the next few slides, I will talk about a lot of observation from the 4907. If I don't mention which float, it's 4907. Okay. The flows measure the temperature, salinity, pressure, and horizontal velocity. It's profiled vertically from surface down to 250 meters. At a later part, only profile down to 200 meters. The initial period here is about 29 hours. Here is the base of the surface mix there, the dashed line. And the black contour lines here are the isothermal surface. The space of mix there changed from 50 meters before the typhoon, a few days after the typhoon, and suddenly decreased to about 10 meters. And that may be partially due to the local heating. I think Rosalinda might talk about it. I'm not sure. So there are some magenta dots there. It's hard to read there. But this area is where the shear squares minus 4n squared larger than 0, meaning they are shear unstable. And you find this, the shear unstable region started from about 100 meters and then dropped down to almost 150 meters at September 23rd. The shear instability is mostly due to the inertial wave shears. And we also see the signature of internal tides here. The maximum current here overall is about 1.5 meters per second, but it's a combination of several processes. So we decompose the velocity, density, temperature, and salinity to four components: inertial waves, diurnal type, semi-diurnal type, and the sub-inertial, meaning anything with a time scale larger than 36 hours. The way we do it, we do every 36 hours window, we feed to these four components. Sub-inertial will be the mean of that 36 hours, within the 36 hours. So we move the windows every couple of hours, and that's what we get. So this, the top panel is the diurnal tide, and the bottom panel is semi-diurnal tide, the zonal velocity contour plot. Here's the depth, here's the time. Again, it floats 4907, the flows on the resonant area. So what we see here is the diurnal tide is about half meter per second. And the displacement is hard to read here, I'm sorry. It's about 10 meters. The semi-diurnal tide is weaker. It's about less than half meter per second. Its surface intensified. And the amplitude of vertical displacement is even smaller, about 5 meters. And we also have the sub-inertial motion and inertial waves. The top panel shows the sub-inertial motion. And we see between surface 200 meters, there was a westward jet at the beginning, and it becomes subsurface. And it disappeared after September 23rd. And the reason it disappeared, it may be because the flow is out of the jet. Or maybe it actually disappeared. And we think this subsurface jet may be a geotropic variance due to the canopy disturbed upwelling and mixing. The reason I say that is because the scale is almost right. The spatial scale is about 100 kilometers, and I will show you later. The bottom panel shows the inertial waves. The amplitude is about 1 meter per second. Let me see what else I want to say. Okay, so 1 meter per second, and you see an upward phase propagation, meaning a downward energy propagation. The inertial pumping, that's a temperature vertical displacement at inertial frequency due to the convergence and divergence, is between 20 to 40 meters. Okay, so this slide shows the depth integrated inertial wave kinetic energy between surface to 100 meters for all flows. And the blue curve here is the flows at the southernmost flows that's within the AD. So what you see here, it doesn't have much inertial wave energy. It's far away from the typhoon. The black is the one under the height. The kinetic energy is about peak at about 20 kilojoules per meter squared, about one day after the typhoon passed. And the one at the resonant area, 4907, peak at 25 kilojoules per meter squared. Both of them have shown exponential decay. It goes to almost zero after September 24. And the dash curve here shows the exponential feed. The E14 time scale for kinetic energy is about 2 to 3 days. It means 4 to 6 days for the velocity. So if you want to use a damping for your slab model, you should use 4 to 6 days. So this slide sort of summarizes what the oceanic response from all the flows. And the y-axis is the latitude, the x-axis is time. The top panel shows the temperature average in the surface mix there. And I should define the surface mix there, which is 0.2 degrees C cooler than the average between surface to 10 meters. And the dashed line here is the isotherm, 29, 28, and 27 degrees. The typhoon passed around 23.5, latitude around August 18. We see a temperature drop of 2.5 degrees, and to the right of the typhoon, about 50 kilometers. The middle panel shows the ocean heat content relative to 26 degrees C. The drop of ocean heat content is about 70 kilojoules per centimeter squared. The bottom panel shows the T100, the temperature average between surface and 100 meters. The T100 drop is about 2 degrees. And the next slide, I'm going to show the pre-storm and after-storm vertical and time structure, latitude structure. So the top panel shows the pre-storm temperature field. The break line curves are the isotherm 26.5 to 29 degrees C with 0.5 degrees C interval. It's pretty flat. The bottom one shows 6 hours after high. I'm sorry, I didn't explain. This is depth and this is latitude. Almost all the temperature warmer than 26.5 degrees C outcrop to the surface. We see a strong upwelling right under the eye, about 50 meter upwelling. We see the 26 degrees C outcrop not under the eye, not the strongest upwelling area, but to the right, and we know why. It's because of mixing and surface cooling. And the subsurface jet we find earlier is in this area where the temperature gradient, horizontal gradient, is the strongest. That's why we think it may be partially due to the geostrophic balance. Okay, we try to separate the upwelling effect and the diabetic effect. So the top panel shows the temperature as a function of depth and time for the flow 4907. We see the temperature drop by 2.5 degrees C at the surface. We knew that already. The bottom panel shows an isopignal temperature anomaly. Basically, I define the precondition, follow the density surface, and subtract the temperature from the pre-storm condition. So that takes out the upwelling cooling. What you find very interesting is that the drop of temperature is only 0.5 degrees C. That means the upwelling cooling is contribute to 80%, the mixing and LC cooling contribute to 20%. Does that make sense? Okay. So the next slide shows the similar things. I show the salinity at the top panel, we see that salinity increased by 0.1 PSU, mostly due to the upwelling of the salty water up to the surface. The bottom panel shows the isothermal salinity anomaly, taking out the upwelling effect. We actually see minus 0.2 PSU drop. That water actually becomes fresher. And these are the water coming from below. And the reason it's become fresher is because of the precipitation, as we know, and maybe due to the mixing too. I hope it's clear. Okay, here's my summary. In finite feet, we find a very strong inertial wave. We find the subsurface jet. We don't know the dynamics yet. We find significant take of internal tides and eddies. The decay rate of inertial wave energy is about 2 to 3 days exponential time scale. Strong upwelling under the eye, 50 meter. Inertial pumping, 20 to 40 meter. The maximum sea surface cooling is 2.5 degrees C, but the mixing and LC flux cooling is only 0.5 degrees C. The precipitation and mixing drop the salinity by 0.2 PSU. We'd like to collaborate with the modelers. We need to understand what the dynamics of this subsurface jet and the initial wave response. We'd like to collaborate with other ocean observations, especially the estimate and measurement of the surface wind sea flux and precipitation to help us understand the LC flux. Thank you.
We have time for one question.
Okay,
sorry.